Blog Talk Radio.
I'm just so broke, you won't believe. Can't get a dollar out of me. And as far as I can see, I'm losing control like a bad disease. No, I just can't get relief. I've been shot down by the life police. Cause every day I try to rise, but I can't succeed. Can anybody find a cure for me? You can be bitter, bitter, bitter. Or you can be better, better, better. Great life gives you lemon. Instead of champagne. Now every day is like a brand new year. I throw my hands up in the air like I just don't care. I'm moonwalking down the street feeling like oh yeah, oh yeah. Well, at the bottom of the gas now I see clear. So now I laugh just a little more. I'm getting much taller than I did before. I know I'm not where I need to be, but I thank God that I'm not where I used to be. I used to be bitter, bitter, bitter. But now I feel better, better, better. Great life gives you lemon. Instead of champagne. So I relieve the children. I don't complain. Whoa, remember your golden. Your body don't sugar cane. Great life gives you lemon. Take lemonade.
Come on, come on, come on, come on, come
on. I would say for a reason that I can't explain. Got something new to believe in. I'm awakened again. How many miracles I have seen each day. If I can just get out of my own way. Well, life gives you lemon. Instead of champagne. So I relieve the children.
I'm a man of many talents. I'm more talented than Alex Boyer. More people ask for my autograph than for him. They're not going to tell you that. That little, like, rap part, where we're like, no, 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 lemonade, no. So dumb. It's already been done like a billion times. But luckily I was in the shot because I saved it. Redemption. You're welcome, Alex.
Good evening, everyone. Excuse me. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. This is your host, Gail St. Francis Johnson, formerly known as Miss Delicious, and you're tuned into If Life Makes You, If Life Gives You Lemons, Make a Martini Show. And this show is for the tame and the untamed. It's serious with a dash of humor. Life is what you make it. You may be rich, but unhappy, or broke and happy. You may have had many adversities in your life. How many pity parties did you have? Ever went from being a victim to becoming victorious? Ever been down so low you could swing your legs on a dime? Do you have a sense of humor? Ever laughed at yourself? What is your overall view of life? Want to vent or just have something to get off your chest? If you answer yes to one of these questions, this show is for you. On my show, you get free exposure if you're a business owner, starting a business, author, expert, or just want to share information of importance. I invite you to come on as a guest, and let's chop it up. Sorry, there will be no discussing religion or politics. If you're interested, if you're interested, you can email me at gjdelicious37@gmail.com. Again, my email address is gjdelicious37@gmail.com. Okay, so I know you guys have been wondering, where in the world have I been? Well, basically, I've been nowhere but in quarantine. Not that I had the virus or anything, but, you know, just trying to keep safe and be safe, you know, because sometimes you may be around people that don't know that they have it, or I could have been a carrier, or, you know, whatever. But I've just been, you know, being safe and keeping my distance and, you know, wishing for the best and, you know, be glad when all this pandemic is done and over with. And, of course, I know that's going to be in God's time, because man has no control over, you know, this this virus. They have no control over it. They're still trying to come up with a vaccine, and one person is saying this, another saying that. Then Trump puts his 2 cents in, which is worthless because he's not a doctor. And he'd be the last person that anybody should take any advice from, as far as him saying anything about the virus. This thing is just going to go away, magically go away, and you don't need a mask, and, you know, such nonsense as that. But anyway, I'm back, and, you know, like you guys also may know, I do my show on my time. When I feel like doing my show is when I do my show. And today's show, I'm going to be talking about different things that has really sort of gotten, I wouldn't say on my nerve, but just things that are happening that are causing people to have these different feelings about different things. I've heard where Michelle Obama says she suffered from depression because of the administration, because of the pandemic. And I will admit, I'm going through a bit of depression myself, because my mom's birthday is coming up the 28th of this month, and a couple of days after that, which was the 30th, my sister died. So I'm going through that and the pandemic and, you know, just different things that are happening. And I'm sure I'm not the only one who's affected by these things that are happening to me. But the pandemic is, you know, causing things to be piled on. And, you know, so it's just one thing after another. But I'm so grateful and blessed that I've made it 70 years on this earth. And, you know, I'm just going to be trying to make 70 more if I can, you know. But if I don't, then, you know, that's it. But I'm just going to, you know, keep my head up, keep praying. And, you know, whenever it's over, if things seem to get back to normal, but a lot of people are not looking at things as getting back to normal. And maybe they won't, you know, because it's just been so many other things compiled on to this epidemic, a lot of separatism, racism, and all these different things that are going on, you know, all these killings, the police killing a lot of Nubian people, which is black, and getting away with it, and you having the marches and rallies and different things of that. But we still have to be grateful and, you know, still continue to count your blessings, because guess what? A lot of people did not wake up this morning. A lot of people didn't. So, you know, that's that. But I'm going to play a song, because I have something that I really want to get done It'll take me a few minutes, and I'll be right back with you guys, okay? People are going through it, and I just want everybody to know that as long as you keep guarding your heart and keep trusting in Him, things will get better, at least in your lives, you know. But people who are determined and defiant and want to do what they want to do and don't want to listen, don't want to pray and, you know, change up their way of living and their thought patterns, then they will suffer the consequences. You know, because, you know, it takes faith. And faith is the answer to a lot of things, faith and prayer. If you have those going for you, then you have a chance. But if you're just out there just doing whatever you want to do, hating on people and, you know, doing all these crazy things, killing, and you're going to suffer the consequences. You live by the sword, you die by the sword. Okay, so I hope I can get on all the subjects I'm supposed to be talking about today. And I also have a couple of tapes I want you guys to listen to as well. That one of them is about this white guy who had a conversation with Charles Barkley and a lawyer about alternative rights. And when I listened to that, and when I saw it as well, because it was on Facebook, and just watching that guy, the way he was saying the things that he was saying, you know, it made me think that somebody who, or he didn't seem like he was in his right mind, but, you know, people who think like him and want things the way he wants them, you know, they'll say, oh, he's right, but the things that he was saying was not right. And my book or anybody else's book that have a conscience and that are people of justice and, you know, people who are not prejudiced and racist and so forth and so on. But this guy, oh my goodness, he's somehow or another, he met with Trump in the White House and they come up with this thing, alternative rights. And they were having some type of a rally or something going on, and they showed that they had these people, and Trump was coming out, he was going to say something, and they were saying, hail Trump, hail Trump. And one guy, he had put up the Nazi sign, or either the whatever, you know. And I'm just saying, he has all these people following behind him, and all these people believing in what he's, all this stuff he's spewing, you know, and all these things he's saying. And basically, Trump really reminds me of a little boy that's spoiled and, you know, screams and hollers and cries and, you know, do whatever he can to get his way. And he also thinks that running the country is like The Apprentice. You're fired when people don't go along with what he says. That's crazy. He was selected to be a leader, but as far as him doing the job of a leader, that yet remains to be seen, you know. And then now he's trying to get everything together so he can get reelected. Now they're talking about he may be if he loses, he may have to be forced out of the White House because he may refuse to go. Now, what does that say about a grown man who's 70-some years old, however old he is physically, but mentally he's really maybe 5 or 6. But anyway, what does that say about a person that, you know, he act like he want to be a dictator? He wants to be the president for life and, you know, all these crazy things that he's conjured up in his mind. And I'm wondering if he does some type of drugs or is he on medication or something, because he is just so blatant, even little children know that something is wrong with him, you know. And this is supposed to be our leader, someone who's running the country. And he's telling people when the police lock him up, bump their heads and, you know, do whatever it takes to restrain them and all this kind of stuff. That's exactly why some of these policemen are doing what they're doing. And then comes into play a lot of these policemen, judges, lawyers, doctors, so forth and so on, are Klansmen, believe it or not. And to be honest, I actually believe that Trump has a lot to do in with the Klansmen as well, because the Klansmen is a terrorist group of men, white men, children, women, that terrorizes blacks. They target their hatred towards blacks, but they're not trying to dissemble them. The Black Panthers, they dissemble them, and, you know, anytime a black group of people get together to try to fight these people back in any way necessary, they dissemble them. They drop bombs on people's in neighborhoods to get rid of these people. In Pennsylvania, they dropped a bomb on a house had no regards for the, in a row house, they had no regards for the people living on either side, but they dropped the bomb to get rid of those people because they were called the Africans, and what they were doing was trying to, you know, keep themselves safe and, you know, not letting the police brutalize them and different things like that. But the Ku Klux Klan, they've done nothing to disassemble those racist, hatred people. And it's sad. It's really sad that we have to put up to this day. And then they're talking about people getting lynched in California and a couple other places where they found some guys hanging from trees. One of them, they said, was a suicide. Of course, they would say that. But what, you know, what person in their right mind or what person thinks they have the authority to take another person's life? Only God can do that. God gave life, and it's only God that can take life. Now, I understand a life for a life, but by that, it means, my definition would be, and I wish that if I was, I really wanted to be a judge when I was growing up, but thinking now, I really would want that responsibility, but if I was a judge, the laws would go across the board. I don't care if you was black, white, green, purple, if you was a lawyer, doctor, whatever. Whatever I gave time for one person, it would apply to everybody, and that would be murderers would never get out of jail, never. And the only way they could get out of jail is if the person they killed came up out of their grave alive. Rapists never get out of jail. Because they get out and they commit the same crimes over and over until they start off raping people, and then they start off killing them, and then you taking them back to court, and then you giving them more time. No, leave them in there. Murderers and rapists should never get out of jail. And everybody who, when they were having this crack epidemic, basically they were given, because they knew that the blacks were the ones who were selling the crack. The white people, cocaine has been around forever. At one point, cocaine used to be legal. And what had happened was they was giving it to the midnight shift, or the workers who worked the graveyard shift to keep them up all night. Then they claim that they had to, ban it because they claim, now this is a claim, allegedly, that the black men who were, you know, taking the coke to stay up, were raping white women, so they banned it, you know, made it illegal. But, you know, that when something goes bad down, they always blaming the black person. Not saying that that didn't really happen, but my thing is, just like when the crack epidemic, you know, if you was doing crack, cocaine was a recreational drug that white people used forever. You know, it was all good, you know, go to these big parties and these nightclubs, and they'd be passing around like candy. You know, and the police and everybody would be all up in there. It was all good. But when the crack came along, basically the blacks were selling it. Some whites were too, but the blacks were, you know, doing it more because it was cheaper and quicker and making quick money and whatever. But if you was caught with crack, you would get more time than if you was caught with the powder. You know why? Because at that particular time, it really wasn't too many whites that was in selling crack, at least not selling crack. So this was a way to get rid of the black man, lock him up. Now, that should go both ways, regardless to whether crack or powder or whatever, it's still the same drug. It may affect you differently when it gets into your stream, into your bloodstream, but it's the same drug. So why should this guy over here who has crack get 100 years and this guy over here has the powder and he get 5 months? That's not right. And see, that's something that the judicial system needs to be looked at. And some of those laws need to be changed. I read somewhere that this guy, I think it was in Louisiana, but I'm not sure. Someone called me and correct me. This guy has stolen a hedge cutters, and they gave him life. What kind of mess is that? this guy Zimmerman killed, I forgot the little boy's name that quick, but killed him. He didn't spend a, you know, he didn't go to jail. They justified that. You know, they justified when these policemen are killing all these young black men. You know, I don't care if this person, you know, then they try to call it, well, he did this, he did that, he stole, he did that. That's no reason for him to be killed. Nobody knows the policeman's backgrounds. You know, they're all not perfect. So I feel that the judicial system needs to be changed. The laws need to be across the board. You know, they give, just like that white guy who killed four people in a drunk driving raid, they said he had influenza, which means he was too rich to know right from wrong. That is the dumbest excuse. The dumbest excuse. You're too rich to know right from wrong. Excuse me, I have two cats, and they know the difference from yes and no. Trust me. So a human being, the difference between animals and humans is that animals, they cannot reason. They cannot think and reason. Humans can think and reason. Animals act on instincts. But you have some humans that are just, I don't know, they act worse than animals. And it's sad that, you know, other people have to be affected by the choices that other people make, as far as if you want to be prejudiced and racist and all that kind of stuff. You know, that's something that, you know, people need to keep to themselves. You know, and they're always talking about black on black crime, and what about the blacks killing blacks, and they get upset when a white policeman killed them, and so forth and so on. Well, that goes both ways. It goes both ways, because if a black person killed a white person, they're going to get more time than God allows. But when a white person kills a black person, especially if you're a police, some policemen they lock up, some of them they don't. But it would be across the board, because that guy who killed the, I think his name was George Floyd, who killed him, he's supposed to be in jail, and all those policemen that were standing around letting this man pressure the life out of that guy's body should have been locked up, because guess what? They were supposed to be telling him, get off his neck. He was already handcuffed. Handcuffed behind. What could he do? What could he possibly have done to those policemen with his hands handcuffed behind his back? Why did they have to throw him on the ground and put his knee in his neck? What was that all about? Then they're talking about the policemen, I think it was in New York, were protesting because they are trying to get rid of the chokehold. What does that say about them? You know, I mean, I know sometimes you have to do, maybe you have to do something drastic to subdue a person, but they have tasers, they have gas, they have those non-lethal bullets. But the first thing they do is pull out a gun and shoot. And that's terrible. It's really terrible, you know, that. But I guess, you know, we have policemen on the force who, that's why they're on there, to kill black people. They're on there to kill, some of them are on there to kill any people. You know, you give a person a gun and a badge, and they think they're God. They are to serve and to protect. Now, like I had mentioned, I understand when they have maybe used some drastic force to subdue a person, but they have means to do that. Use your taser. Use your mace or whatever, you know, especially if a man is unarmed. And so many of these people that they've killed were unarmed. I could see if they come out shooting and you have no other choice. But you're going to shoot and kill an unarmed man, and then you're going to shoot him in the back. And that's justifiable? No. Not in God's eyes, it's not. No. And then what about when they beat up Rodney King? And they kept saying he was trying to get up. Of course he was trying to get away from them sticks coming every which way. They beat that man mercifully. And it's a good thing that it was recorded, because if it wasn't recorded, you know what they probably would have said? He was fighting. He was fighting, and this is how we had to subdue him. He was drunk, number one. Then he was just trying to, from what I saw on the tape, he was trying to protect himself, trying to put his hands up, trying to get away. And they just constantly just beat him like he was an animal. I think worse than an animal, because an animal would have ran away or whatever. But they just beat him and beat him and beat him. Then they showed the tape, and they tried to say, well, look at it. They changed everything up, having people's perceptive, making them see something that really wasn't the truth. Look, he's trying to fight. He's trying to do this. He was not trying to fight. He was trying to get away. He was trying to protect himself from the blows. But no, they kept beating him and beating him and beating him. But unfortunately, Rodney King passed away from an accident. He fell into the swimming pool and he couldn't swim and he drowned. But, you know, what he did say, why can't we all get along? And that's what we need to do. We need to get along. Put all this hatred and white privilege and all these crazy things behind us. Because because if you don't, you're going to suffer the consequences in the end. You're definitely going to suffer the consequences. And, you know, I know that people are angry and, you know, people want to get their anger out and, you know, they have people that they direct their anger to and, you know, hating on this person for that, the color of their skin. Your skin should have nothing to do with anything of your character that should count. My color don't rub off on nobody. It don't rub off on me. I have this color. It's permanent. It's beautiful. But for some reason, I am judged by the color of my skin, the texture of my hair, my facial features, my body. And for what? I'm human. We are all human. We are one race. That's the human race. But because man wanted to be different, he felt because his skin was white, he was so much better. No, it didn't make you better. You know, and then slavery. You know, I know that there were other people in slavery and bondage, just as us black people were, but blacks have always been at the bottom of the totem pole, always. And I know when they went over in Africa that some of the Africans even sold some of the people to the white man to bring over here. And I was reading somewhere where the Arabs were the first slave owners and how they would castrate the men so they couldn't reproduce. And that's just a little something that I read. How true it is, I don't know. And I really don't know that much about slavery except for what I've read or what has been told to me or what I saw on the internet, you know, because I've never been a slave. I don't know if my ancestors were slaves, but I do know that we were slaves. I do know that black people were slaves, and they were slaves for a long time, and what they went through was horrible. And how they broke us was I did a little research on Willie Lynch, and it boils down to that Willie Lynch was a slave owner, and he had went to, I think it was Virginia or somewhere, and because, you know, trying to help the slave owners to, how telling them how to control their slaves, and he said the best thing to do is to turn them against one another, turn the lights against the light skins against the dark skins, turn the man against the woman against the man, you know, just make us hate ourselves. In other words, make us hate ourselves and love our master. That is how he had proposed you make a good slave. And that's sad because some of that hatred for even our own race is still embedded in some of us to this day because light-skinned people think they're better, dark-skinned people feel bad, you know, and it's sad because we are all the same. There's no difference. We all have two eyes, two nose, two ears, lips, and we breathe and we have blood the same color. So what is the difference? Because I'm darker than you, you're better than me. No, it's not like that. Because you have hair that's different from mine, my hair is no good. I have big lips, you have small lips. You cannot judge me by that. You cannot judge me because, number one, God created all of us. Not only me, not only you, he created all of us. He made a variety of people. He didn't just make white people. He didn't just make the Indians. He didn't just make Chinese and Asians and Africans. He made a variety of people. And he made us a variety for a reason. And we were all made in his image. And his image is love. But because he gave us a free will to do what we wanted to do, we chose to do what we wanted to do. And these are the consequences: racism, bigotry, prejudice, you know, just all these negative things that are going on, all because someone decided I'm better because my skin is white. No, you're not better. You're not better. You know, you can have confidence and feel good about yourself, but to say that you're better than the next person, no, you're not. And the sooner you get that through your head, the better off you will be and the rest of the world will be. But it's not going to happen. The only way things are going to change on this earth is when God does the intervention. Because guess what? Man has no intention of changing. Because as long as he has power, and as long as he can do what he wants, as long as he's rich and famous and, you know, all those things that he thinks is good, he's not going to give them up. He's not going to give them up. Why should he? When that keeps him on his throne, there's someone on a higher throne. And all these material things that you have accomplished or you're getting and you want and you have, they're going to be done away with. They're just going to be gone. You came in this world naked and you're going to leave the same way. Everybody's going to leave in a box. 6 feet under. And ain't no hearse truck going to be driving, no Brinks truck going to be driving behind you, no furniture truck going to be driving behind you. You're going to go in that grave by yourself, alone. So it's time for everybody to wake up, smell the coffee, and do what's right. You know, and the right thing to do is to get closer to God closer to God. Get all your answers and ask all your questions of God. Because like I said, man can't help us. He can't. Even when he's in a position to at least straighten some things out, he still's not. He's not doing that. So we just have to suffer along with, you know, the way he's doing things and, you know, just keep prayer in our lives and keep treating people fair. And that's it. Because if we don't, we're going to perish forever. And that's something that I don't want to do, perish forever. But, you know, you have people who are just not being, just not listening, who don't care, who are more concerned and interested in material things. Okay, also, I wanted to speak on white privilege. Now, before when we were assaulted or, you know, something was said derogatory about us, you know, by a white person, they would apologize and, you know, say why they said it and they're sorry. And lately, if you've noticed, they just been saying what they want to say, no apologies. You know, we're niggers, we're animals, we're monkeys, we're this, we're that, and that's it. We have nappy hair. But it's just their way of getting things off their chest that they always wanted to say anyway. But, you know, now all of a sudden it's gotten to the point because ever since President Trump has been in the White House, everything's open. You know, he's saying do this at one of his at one of his campaigns. He's gonna tell somebody, punch him in the mouth. I'll pay for your lawyer. What kind of, you know, what is? He's sick. He's really sick. You know, that's his problem. He's really sick. But and yeah, white privilege. I don't know if you guys remember back, I think it was like in the 60s when, before they had the integration into white schools, Ruby Bridges was 6 years old and she was the first black child to enter a white school. And they treated her like crap. 6 years old now, she had to be escorted to school by white marshals. And a lot of the parents was taking their children out of school because they didn't want their, you know, child around a black person. They weren't. She couldn't eat in the lunchroom because they weren't serving her at lunch. So it was one teacher there that, you know, took to the little girl and, you know, treated her really good. And, you know, so eventually they, you know, the parents started sending their children back to school because the little girl was there to stay. But for her to go through what she went through at such a young age, and then she eventually was going through not being able to sleep at night and having nightmares, and that's just too much for a child to go through. And the reason her parents had sent her to the white school was because back then black schools didn't have that much going on. They were short of this, short of that. Buildings tore up and, you know, teachers short. And they wanted their daughter to get a better education. And they were, you know, educating the whites much better than the blacks. That's a known fact. So that's why her parents had sent her to that school. So I forgot to finish the Willie Lynch thing, too. I'm sorry, I'm jumping from one thing to another. But then come to find out, after Willie Lynch had, you know, told these slave owners how to make their slaves into better slaves and all this old crazy stuff that he did, come to find out now they're dispelling that Willie Lynch is a myth. They cannot find out whether this was a real person who gave up that information or who Willie Lynch was. Nobody's ever, you know, seen him or anything like that. So, but somebody had to put that information out there. And Willie Lynch sounds like a black name, but I'm not saying that. But Willie Lynch is a possibility. It could have been a black man. But, you know, they're saying that it's a myth that to Willie Lynch. Now, I would love to know, if it wasn't a myth, who this Willie Lynch was. Was he a black man or was he a white man? You know, because they had, maybe they had a couple of few educated Negroes during that time. And maybe he could have been a past slave, you know, but they were saying that that's a myth. So we're going to take a small break, and we'll be back in a few minutes. And if you have any questions or comments, feel free to call in. The number is 646-652-2877. That's 646-652-2877. That's if you have any questions or comments, please call in. Find a song that I really want to hear, but for some reason, let's see what I want to hear. I'm sorry, but kind of didn't have my things all together this evening, but I'm getting them together, okay? Just be patient with me. I haven't been on here for a while, and I do really miss you guys when I'm not on here, but you know, like I said, I like to, you know, do this show when I'm feeling up to do it. So just be patient with me. I'm going to find a song and let you guys hear it, okay? Give me one moment.
We're gonna stand around this town and let what others say come true. We're just good for nothing, they all figure. A boy's grown up shiftless jigger. Now we can't hardly stand for that. Or is that really where it's at? We people who are darker than blue. This ain't no time for segregating. I'm talking about brown and yellow too. Hi, yellow girl, can you tell? You're just the surface of our dark, deep well. If your mind could really see, you'd know your color is same as me. Pardon me, brother, as you stand in your glory. If I tell the whole story, that's why I'm here to say, keep peace with me, and I with you. Let me love in my own way.
I want you guys to listen to. This is the first one I want you guys to hear.
To see some of the ways that Americans and corporations are coming together to deal with an unprecedented pandemic, you'll see people who previously made apparel now are making retrofitting their factories to make masks and other medical necessities. You'll see people who were previously making handbags like Louis Vuitton hand sanitizer, which will probably be about $3,000 a squirt, but yet they're doing their part too. It is today, or yesterday, marked the first time that the USA has led the world in confirmed coronavirus cases. So true to his word, Donald Trump made America number one. USA, USA. He's done what he said he would do. He made America number one in confirmed corona cases. There are things I say that harden me again. Like I love the fact that Andrew Cuomo takes the national stage, and he's the de facto president of the United States right now. He has everybody doing what they're supposed to do, sitting far apart, being informative, being sober, being clear, being a leader, letting everybody know where it stops and ends. He asked the president of the United States for ventilators. The president, because he's such a bright guy, said that he doesn't think they need that much. So the guy who got sued because he opened a university is now doing math for us. The truth of the matter is that governors were once told by this president they were on their own and to figure it out themselves, and now they have, and they made a request for the federal government, which they can't match, and they're in need, and he's rebuffing them. He also said it's not going to hurt you to finish, to use prescriptions or drugs that were prescribed for something else. When doctors tell you all the time not to use them, they tell you all the time not to share prescriptions, but I guess the President of the United States tells you to do it and you will. The truth of the matter is, listening to Donald Trump is why we are here. Listening to this nincompoop is why America's in the situation it's in right now. So he's gone from a mathematician to a scientist to a doctor. And none of the advice he gives us is to make us better. It is to make him look better. Now, his approval rating is at 48%. His disapproval is at 46%. But what traditionally happens when there is a crisis like this is people rally around the president. So it's not particularly great that his approval rating only went up 4 points. Everybody knows, and I think in their heart of hearts, they know that you are in this alone. They know that you don't have a leader. You don't have somebody like Gavin Newsom in California. You don't have somebody like Andrew Cuomo in New York. And I believe that he is petty enough to deny Cuomo what he needs, but primarily because that's a blue state. I guarantee you that plays into his factor. Louise in New Orleans leads the nation now in the fastest growing death. New Orleans has more deaths. The city of New Orleans has more coronavirus deaths than the state of California. And they unfortunately have a Democratic governor, which will play into his hands. Right now, you have people who are on the right wing are telling old people to go to work and volunteer and go to work because they don't believe it. And I believe they should. And they also shouldn't take any mask or resources. Have at it. Do what you will. Take your old ass out there unprotected. And when you get in trouble, do not strain our resources with your ignorant ass. Donald Trump, listening to him, has got us here. Donald Trump, let me tell you something. Can you imagine a situation like this where Barack Obama owned hotels and he didn't offer those hotels as beds? He didn't offer those hotels as triage centers? He's selfish. He's small. He's dragging America. Well, he is the president America deserves. He's absolutely what we deserve. In a time, in a crisis like this, we deserve a man who is small, who's petty, and who's myopic. If you think that this is what leadership is, we deserve every bit of it. The country's divided on what there are things that we know are true, and he's making it like they're not. People that follow him want to go to work and decide that we're not going to pay any attention to what's going on. We have half the country under quarantine and half just doing what they want because he is the guy who's supposed to bring us together. Listening to Trump is what got us here in the first place. And Lord knows that we should all learn a lesson from this. A little note from the GED section. We got the Jazz Report coming up in 15 minutes. It's the DL Hughley.
Yeah, that was DL Hughley. I love listening to his GED reports because, like he was saying, we're in this predicament because of Trump, how his thought patterns go. You know, like he mentioned, telling people they didn't need a mask and how they can take these medications that really are not good, you know, for our bodies. And, you know, people are listening to him because he's, quote, unquote, the leader, you know. And if he had an ounce of sense, and if he really, I mean, you know, just imagine if Obama could have done the things that he wanted to do. Just imagine how pleasant things would have been if he was the president now and they allowed him to do what he wanted, the things he was able to do, you know, as far as knowing that this virus was coming and how to get the people ready and keeping people under quarantine, keeping people in their masks and, you know, keeping people in safe places. And, you know, because what's really going on right now is all about money. It's all about money in the election. Trump will do anything, say anything to get reelected. And that's sad. He put the United States at risk so he could become the president again. What kind of leadership is that? You know, I really would hate it if all the presidents were like him. You know, it just so happened that we got Trump we got Trump for a reason. You know, God allowed this to happen, and he allowed it to happen for a reason. But people are not seeing the reason. People are not accepting the reason. So this is why things are going on the way that they're going on. And Trump is not a leader. He's a big brat. He's a big brat. His son's school is not opening, but is he protesting about that? Is he saying anything about that? Is he making them open his school? I think not. But every other American's child has to be at risk because he wants the schools open. And I thought that was left up to the governors anyway. And are the governors just giving in to this bully? He's a bully. You know, if you don't do this, I'm going to do that. All of some of that stuff he's bullying people about. I also understand that, now I don't know how true this is, but I read that if he was reelected, he was going to cut out Social Security and something else he was going to get rid of. But how in the world is a man going to have that much power that he's going to put people, older people, in a position where they're going to suffer with nothing after they put their blood, sweat, and tears in working all those years to get their Social Security, and he's just going to zap it from them? Now, like I said, I don't know how true that is because there's a lot of things that you read on Facebook or you see here, you see there. It's just made up stuff. But if that is, it sounds like something that he would do. You know, not saying that it's true, like I said, but if it is, God have mercy on us. Because if he thinks that it's bad now, you cut off people's Social Security and see what happens. You know, cut off these things that people need. You know, people need to survive and they need money. It's not like these are rich people. You know, people, they got money, they can splurge, they can have a house here, a house there, all these cars in their garage and travel at will. No, they're barely making it. And they're making it off the money that they worked for all these years. I'm retired. You know, and I would hate for it to come to an end. And I definitely don't want to go to work for anybody, not at my age. You know, so we will have to pray, work diligently to get this man out of the White House. You know, and if he serves 4 more years, then we just got to make it the best of it, but it'll be his last 4 years if we make it through it. He could have started a world war. A race riot, you know, all kind of things. Things that's been happening since he's been in that White House, you know. And then he just says anything out of his mouth, anything, and half the things he be saying don't make a bean of sense, not a bean. Talking about shower heads, talking about, you know, just things, random thoughts that he's probably having because. Things he's saying has nothing to do with helping his country out. It has nothing to do with helping the people out in the country. You know, it's just things that he just sits around and just lets out whenever he feels like it. Because, number one, he need to be getting these people, these homeless people off the streets. He need to be getting food in these people's mouths that don't have food. He need to help out every human being that he can. But no, what he do, he talk about people, get mad at people, put people down, threaten people, bully people, hate people. But you know, what goes around comes around. What goes around comes around. And his day will come. He's living high on the hog now. Got places in Florida, here, there, everywhere. You know, been married 3 times, got these children and money to burn and, you know, entertaining. But all that's going to come to a halt. He's getting his reward right now. He won't have nothing coming in the end. Nothing. Like I also said, I had this other tape that I wanted you guys to listen to. It's called Alternative Rights. And to me, alternative rights for white people mean, this is only my interpretation of it, is if something isn't going right, they have an alternative to change it to fit them. They've been doing that forever anyway, because if a law don't fit whatever crime they've done, they change it up so it will. So without further ado, let's get into this next tape I wanted you guys to listen to. And listen carefully to this one, because this guy, I think he's a little touched. And if you have any questions or comments, feel free to call in. The call-in number is 646-652-2877, 646-652-2877. This is your host, Gail St. Francis.
To really push his activism, but others have been using the internet to spread divisiveness. One group has pushed their agenda all the way to the White House. Meet the alt-right.
Donald Trump's election, a boon to the fringe movement known as the alt-right.
Hail Trump! Hail our people! Hail victory!
That's Richard Spencer, who coined the term alt-right. Alt-right stands for alternative right. The alt-right movement has been hugely energized by the election of Donald Trump.
This is a fringe element that has effectively taken over the Republican Party.
Me and Attorney Griggs are going to meet with one of the leaders of the alt-right, Richard Spencer.
I'm Charles Barkley.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Number one, I want to thank you for taking time.
I get to meet Charles Barkley.
The term alt-right.
Yeah.
Tell me what that means.
I coined that term in 2008. The alt-right now is about identity politics in North America and really around the world.
Okay.
I want to maintain some coherence to peoples and cultures. I want a world of true diversity. I really do. I want Africans to be Africans. I want there to be an India in this world. So I want to maintain my culture. I want you to maintain yours.
Mm-hmm.
Where we are headed is towards a totally fragmenting, multiracial, multicultural, nothing country. It's a country without an identity.
Wouldn't you agree that the essence of American culture is that melting pot, is that coming together of people from other places?
The fact is, the United States of America, that is a white country. Anglo-Saxon, Protestant, whites, they defined the original America.
The only true Americans are Native Americans. So everyone else immigrated here either by choice or by servitude. African Americans have been here since the 1600s.
But we dominated.
Yes, you enslaved, okay?
All peoples enslaved and murdered other peoples, but white people were just really good at it. We were also really good at giving them rights and so on afterward.
It really bothers me when we talk about Hispanics. These people come over here, they work their asses off, they don't get paid, and they're working for white people. Now white people are coming back now and saying, we need to get rid of all of them.
Right. Look, I think they should just go home. We should have white people doing these jobs. But this idea that we're just going to bring in millions of day laborers and pay them $2 an hour because we don't want to get our hands dirty, I would rather hire black people, to be honest, who they're Native American citizens, to do this work.
First of all, let's get one thing straight.
Okay.
Do you believe in white privilege?
Yeah, white privilege is wonderful. I want to expand and deepen white privilege. We are living at a time in which white people are losing social dominance day by day.
You're afraid of being marginalized, right? Welcome to what it feels like to be black.
You don't think white folks still dominate in the world?
We do dominate the world to an extent. Look at the boards of directors of most corporations, tons of white people and Jews. Yes. But every day we hear, oh, isn't this great? There's more diversity in this corporation. Don't we need more people of color in films and movies? Isn't this wonderful? What is the trajectory? Where is the arrow pointing? The arrow is pointing away from white power. in my lifetime, what's going to probably happen is that I am going to become a minority in the United States. But what do I want for my great-grandchildren? I do want them to live in a white society, a European empire.
You don't consider yourself a racist.
I would never say something like, I don't like black people.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's not what I'm about.
But you don't want me in your neighborhood.
Right. I mean, I think the country is fragmenting because at the end of the day, racial differences cannot fundamentally be breached ever.
What?
Lots of people will come up here and talk about equality or opportunity or whatever.
Well, that was the end of that tape. They obviously cut some of it, but that's what I had gotten when I had recorded it over. Anywho, I hope you guys listened to that carefully, because when he said about people, all people killed and this and that, he also said, but white people did it better. He also mentioned about whites losing social dominance. I mean, you know, after a while, you're going to have to give up that throne. But he just, if you would have to see the expressions that he has on his face. It's like a little boy who is so happy that, you know, he got what he wanted for Christmas, you know. And it's just a bunch of rhetoric to me, because he's talking about the United States is a white society. No, brother. The Native Americans were here first. When Christopher Columbus, when it was claimed that Christopher Columbus discovered America, no, he did not, because the Indians were here first. What Columbus did was to come over and start a whole lot of, it was just terrible what had happened. But anyway, then he's talking about when he didn't want, you know, it's okay for the blacks to, you know, he didn't want the blacks to live in their neighborhoods. And it's okay, and talking about the Mexicans, they'd rather give the jobs to the blacks because they are natives too. You know, it's sad. It's so sad for somebody to have those things in their mind and actually try to execute them. You know, but he has a big audience because he has Trump and all the Klansmen and all the people who believe in Trump and, you know, talking about this alternative rights. You know, I'm not going to dwell on that too much, because I still haven't got to the Black Lives Matter, is what I wanted to talk about as well. Now, I had a conversation with a few people as far as Black Lives Matter, and it's not really that the black people are trying to say that nobody else's lives matter, but what we're trying to say is, because we've been at the bottom of the totem pole for so long, hey, give us a break. Our lives matter too, just like the white, just like the Chinese, the Asians, and so forth and so on. The Asians, they come over here, they open up these restaurants, and they have special places like Chinatowns. I've seen Chinatowns in mostly every town that I visit. There's a Chinatown. And, you know, the Mexicans, they come here, and they, now they work their butts off. They really do. They take the jobs that, you know, nobody wants, and they work them. But they come, they get free health care, food stamps, and things of the sort, which really is nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that when you're trying to help a person who's down get up. Then, you know, it's just the thing that black people feel that, because it's just been going on for so long. It seemed like forever and ever we've just been killed or annihilated in one way or another. And this, you know, and like they said, black on black crime, there's crime, white crime on white crime. Every nationality has crime in their own nationality. Believe that. But we've been called out because we're making a ruckus because of the police, how they're killing us, you know, for apparently sometimes no reasons at all. And especially like when there's no weapons involved, we were handcuffed or, you know, and it's really sad how they get away with it because they say this one guy, he was in the back of a police wagon, hands behind his back. All of a sudden, he gets shot. He's supposed to have had a gun where he shot himself. Come on. Stevie Wonder and Ray Charles could see that picture. You know, and then they apprehend them and they're handling them all kind of ways and they be telling them, stop resisting. Sometimes they may be resisting. Sometimes they don't. That's just to give the police that much more of a privilege for them to do whatever they want to do to the person that they've apprehended. Kill them and just like this one guy, he had killed the police. This happened in PG when I was living in D.C. He killed the policeman and he fled and they caught up with him. They had beat that guy so bad until he didn't even, they showed the picture before and the picture of him beating up, it didn't even look real. They had beat him up so bad before they got him to the police station. The next day, he allegedly hung himself. But see, the police, they have authority that they give themselves besides the authority that they're given. And the code of blue, you know, they're not going to snitch on each other. They're not going to stop one from doing wrong. Now, some of them may, but they get a hard time. If you break that code, you're like a snitch and they don't treat you well. You know, so it's like being in a rock and a hard place. And then another thing about these policemen. I remember years and years ago when they were getting the police force together and all that kind of stuff. What they would do is you would have to be a certain height and a certain weight. They had the policemen are so out of shape, can't run, can't do nothing. So they pull their guns. I'm not going to chase him. Just pull your gun and shoot. You know, they need to do a reevaluation of the police department. You know, get the, you know, just do a reevaluation so that they can, have policemen who are trained and policemen who will carry out the law the way that it's supposed to be carried out, opposed to, you know, just doing any and everything, you know, just killing people and doing what they want to do when they want to do it. And it's really crazy, you know, but I just wanted to put that in there as far as Black Lives Matter. Every life matters. Every life, red, blue, green, yellow, orange, purple, every life matters because guess what? God created that life. God created that life. So if people can't understand that, don't want to do what's right, that's on them. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, the show, I'm going to close the show down.
You're listening to If Life Gives You Lemons, Make a Martini Show at 109.9 Blog Talk Radio, coming to you live from Fayetteville, North Carolina. Hosted by Gail St. Francis Johnson, formerly known as Miss Delicious. For questions or comments, the call-in number is 646-652-2877. That's 646-652-2877. And remember, if life gives you lemons, make a martini. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
All right, everybody, we have about 8 minutes left. I want to really thank everybody who listened in. We're worldwide, or, you know, if you had your computer or see a few people on the switchboard, you could have called in. I mean, you should have raised your hand and made a comment. But I do appreciate you guys for listening in. I don't know when I'll be back, but hopefully before the week is out. If not, one day next week I will be back. Then maybe I'll probably be doing my show on a weekly basis. But right now I'm just trying to do what other things that I have to do that are a little bit more pressing than my show. And I want to say to everybody out there, spread a little love, you know, hug somebody, tell somebody you love them, a stranger, or call that person up you had a beef with, you know, send an email, send a text, but, you know, get this hate out the way. You know, hate takes up too much energy and too much room in our hearts. When you have hate in your heart, you can't get no blessings, you know, you're blocking your blessings. And it's nothing like getting blessings from the one who made us, you know, because he blesses us right. He loves us unconditionally, and we should do the same for him. You know, just keep things going. And remember, if nobody told you they love you today, remember God does, and so do I. With that being said, I love talk, guys, not about you, so don't drink and drive. I love seeing you, not viewing you. Remember, two wrongs don't make a right. If somebody did you wrong, maybe you have to turn the other cheek, but keep it moving. Keep guarding your heart. And I love you guys. See you when I see you. Good night. And again, thank you.
You just listened to the number one radio station on the internet, Delicious Talk Radio. Thank you and good night.